One of the top outside experts brought in to fix healthcare.gov earns a permanent job with the White House. He'll help the Obama administration make the concept of an IT rescue team a long-term fixture. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jace Miller joins us with details on the Office of Management and Budget's new approach to improving federal technology programs. Hi, Jason.
Good morning, Emily.
So, Jason, do tell, what is going on and who is doing it?
Right, so let's start with the who. The White House announced yesterday they hired Mikey Dickerson to be the new deputy CIO of the federal government. Now, there's going to be two deputy CIOs, so I don't want anyone to think that Lisa Schlosser, the current deputy CIO, or the longer-term one, is going anywhere, and she's not. Mikey will be in the political side. Lisa will still be on the career side, and they will work together around what this new digital service office will do. Now, he will be the administrator of U.S. Digital Service, which sounds like a great big title, but basically what he's going to do, what he's going to be in charge to do is implement this concept of a digital service office, which actually was announced, I want to say, back in the budget time, but really brought to light during the president's management agenda when this administration started to roll it out over the last 3 or 4 months, and Steve Van Ruckel, the federal CIO, testified in May before the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee, and he talked about the smarter IT delivery agenda, and the digital service office was a big part of that. Now, what this digital service office will do is basically going to be a group of experts, about 25, who will be in that office in a 2 to 4 year term appointments to help agencies plan, improve, and fix IT programs. Now, this is all dependent on money, of course. The White House has asked for about $20 million in 2015. So I think what Mikey Dickerson is he's that first step toward that bigger office. We'll see if the Congress actually funds it or not. And I think that's going to be a good weather bell in terms of how seriously they took the healthcare.gov problems and how it's systemic of a larger problem across the government of federal IT.
So tell us a little bit about Dickerson. He did work on healthcare.gov. I looked him up on LinkedIn. He has a longer career history with Google. What's his expertise?
Correct. So his background, obviously, is he was with the QSSI group, which was brought in to help CGI, to help fix that. You're right. He spent about 7 years at Google. He was called a site reliability manager. And obviously, if you've ever seen the movie The Internship, which is being, unfortunately, overplayed on HBO right now, even if it's, you know, 20%
true. But it's a great movie.
I was going to say.
Especially as we get older.
Exactly. Even if it's 20% true, you know that's not an easy job to get there at Google. So, but he worked there and he was part of, managed 7 teams, about 60 engineers, and really dealt with a lot of different pieces about site reliability, improving the site, the Google site in terms of different pieces of it. He also worked for Obama for America. You know, he was part of their, lecturing day monitoring and modeling team. So he has some background with the administration, and he has obviously a strong tech background as well.
So you mentioned that he is, well, they're hoping to be the first of 2025 experts coming in for 2 to 4 year terms. How do they see the hiring happening?
I'm not sure they know yet. I mean, I think what they're looking at is looking at the Presidential Innovation Fellows. So right now, we've talked a lot about the PIF program. They brought in people to kind of spread out across the government and work on specific projects.
What is PIF? Sorry.
That's the Presidential Innovation Fellows program.
Oh, yeah. Well, they come in for several months, right?
They can come in for 6 month terms up to a year terms. I think they're going to look to expand that right now. That seems to be the way they're heading down. And of course, you have other programs that are ongoing as well, like 18F over at GSA and the Buyers Club at HHS that are using a similar approach. But so what they're going to look for is, okay, who are people in the community or in the federal IT community or just outside of the federal IT community really is what they're looking for to say who's worked on agile and iterative projects before, who's shown that they can bring innovation in. So I think that's the type of person they're looking for. You know, how that hiring process works is something that I think is yet to be determined.
And how do you see this U.S. digital service being different than not only the programs that you mentioned at GSA and other places, but other attempts by the government overall to improve technology?
Yeah, there seems to be this growing trend, isn't there? I mean, we've talked about 18F. We've talked about HHS Buyers Club. Don't forget OPM had their innovation lab. They were really first out of the gate in many regards. And I think you're going to see a lot of them popping up in other agencies as well because they're recognizing that challenge.
And HHS, the new secretary, or when she was new, Sylvia Burwell, also mentioned that they were bringing in a sort of CEO of healthcare.gov. So that's
right.
Something else happening in the arena.
Exactly. Another technology expert to help manage that, another project technology expert. So I actually asked that same question to OMB, and it was a very interesting response. They talked about, this is a quote from Steve Van Roekel, the federal CIO, the creation of the digital service and 18F are part of the same broader strategy designed to address how the government assesses the use and gaps in service delivery, what they call digital service, and then fills those gaps by delivering 21st century solutions, parentheses 18F. So digital service will address, okay, what gaps do we have in the government, and 18F will fill those gaps. So I think those two, that's how those two will work together.
And how can you imagine that the small group of people at the White House, again, only about 25, can actually make a difference throughout the government?
Well, I think the process they're going to use is twofold. They're going to look at the portfolio stat and the tech stat. And they're going to say, okay, what programs are in trouble? Or what programs are so high profile that they need extra help? Or what programs are, you know, just something that Congress is spending a lot of time with, or there's a lot of money behind that may not need extra help, but we want to add that expertise to it to make sure they don't go off track. So I think that they'll be used in assorted ways, and it's really someone to come in and I'm going to say parachute in, and I know maybe some people don't be maybe cringing when they hear the word parachute, but really come in, help for a short amount of time, make sure the program is heading in the direction it needs to head in, cost, schedule, performance, important things, do an iterative development, so that's the agile framework. And then they'll kind of get out and move on to their next project. So I think you'll see them, you know, 3, 6, 9 month work on a specific project and then move on.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Yeah, and the term parachuting is interesting because I guess they're talking about people who are basically have private sector experience coming into the government and coaching the career people through things.
Right. How
has that played out in these other programs?
I was going to say, that doesn't always sit well with the career folks. I mean, listen, the career people in the government work very hard. They know what's going on. They know how the process works. What OMB in this White House is wants to change, if you will, is the idea of what innovation can happen. Can you be innovative? Do you have the tools to be innovative? And as we all know, sometimes we all get in ruts and sometimes we need help getting out of those ruts. And I think these people are coming in to maybe help some of the technology folks in the government get out of their rut to say, hey, this is just because this is the way it's always been done doesn't mean it's the way it has to be done. And therefore, I think they're saying maybe these people can bring in some energy, some new ideas, and maybe change up the way the viewpoint of the federal, you know, project team.
And I know that OMB also gave agencies some new guidance around IT acquisition. Not sure if that relates directly to this digital services approach, but can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Now, both of those new guidances actually are building on this idea of a digital service office. The first one they released yesterday was something called the Tech FAR, the Federal Acquisition Regulations Handbook. And this idea is pretty simple. It's just bringing all the provisions in the FAR that can help you be innovative in the technology world. It's not changing anything. It's not redoing any of the provisions in the FAR, but making it easier to find and making it easier to understand. So there's we have a link to it on federalnewsradio.com. And for example, the Tech FAR lists a bunch of questions and answers, including one that's focused on identifying requirements and RFPs. And it says, listen, you don't have to just say it's got to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You can just say the vision is this, and then explain how that process could work in an agile iterative process, you know, development process, instead of just trying to say everything this is the way the end result's got to be. And that's encouraging agencies to change. The other thing they released was a digital services playbook. And the playbook actually is interesting because it's 13 plays, if you will, to get agencies to use Agile. And the 13 plays are developed from public and private sector best practices. And there's a checklist and questions. So if you answer the questions and go through the checklist, OMB believes that you'll be on the path to agile development and really making delivering services more quickly.
And I just want to read some of the plays because, you know, you think, well, what does that mean? One is understand what people need. Then number three is make it simple and intuitive. So I guess these are plays, but they're pretty basic, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. But I think sometimes you just need that, you know, that someone to write it out for you in a way that, okay, I get that now. I understand. Because you get so involved in your project or your program and you own it and you're passionate about it, that sometimes you need that help to step away and say, okay, are we really meeting the needs of the missionary of the agency? Or are we just looking at, wow, there's this new widget that's so cool, let's make sure we can use it somehow.
So what do you think all of this means for the open enrollment season of healthcare.gov? I guess it's healthcare.gov the sequel coming up this fall?
Yeah, I think healthcare.gov in itself, they seem to have it going in the right direction. I mean, there will always be hiccups. It's a huge system. It's complicated. It pulls a lot of data, but it seems to be on a good path. What I think this means more broadly is federal IT projects have for decades, had problems, and healthcare.gov was just the latest example. We could go through a litany of other problems, projects, and I think what this administration is trying to do is, and I hate this word, but I'll use it, institutionalize the idea of can we change the culture of how projects are developed. It's not going to happen overnight. These guidance and this new digital service office is not going to, you know, wave a magic wand and all of a sudden everyone will move to agile and be innovative. But I think it's starting that process of changing the culture and helping federal employees and who work in IT and acquisition and finance and HR, that there's a kind of a new viewpoint that they have to take, and they should start to accept it. It may happen slowly.
Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Jason, thank you so much.
My pleasure.